I believe you. This is just water in here. Glory to God. The Lord has showed me to do a couple of things. One is this, that someone has pain in their back tonight. And it's not just from somebody saying something about you that was nasty. The enemy is riding in on that. So who's that person or persons? Okay, I see one. There is a few, yes, a couple. Who? Okay, someone else does. He's not here at the moment. All right, I see that. Listen, would you come out there just into the aisle here? And I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Yes, come on up. Sorry. This is lower back. And a lot of times in, let's just say, warfare or Christianity, that the enemy comes at us with arrows and shoots them in our back, says mean and nasty things through people. And this is part of what people may have said, but it's also the enemy that's ridden in on it. And so that's the strategical part of this. The enemy is ridden in on this. So come on up, make a line up here. And we're just going to pray and we're going to believe. You know, all things are possible with the Lord. All right. Tonight, if you would just stretch your hands forward, because it is no fun to have pain in the low back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I take authority over the prince of the power of the air. I break his power now in Jesus' name. And I command everything off of every back now in Jesus' name. I place my hand there and I say, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command everything, Lord, that's not of you to come off of my sister now in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything that is not of you, off in Jesus' name. Right now, there is your anointing. Hallelujah. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It doesn't matter how you got it, what happened, but the enemy cannot come in. For behold, I give you strength to tread on all snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. Hallelujah. Nothing can hurt you in Jesus' name. I break that off your back now in Jesus' name. Wonderful name. Hallelujah. In the powerful name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I pray over this back now in Jesus' name. I command the enemy off now. Move in Jesus' name. Right now, whatever word has been spoken over anyone up here, in Jesus' name, I break its power. I command the enemy off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There is nothing that came in that cannot come out right now. I pull it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I speak healing now. In each and every person here now, in Jesus' name. Thank you there. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over pain now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command it off now. Move in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing. It breaks the yoke. Pour in the oil and the wine, Lord God. Pour in the oil and the wine, Father. We thank you for your healing power in Jesus' name. It's already done. And we do, Lord. We believe. We believe, Lord. In Jesus' name. And you know, when the symptoms come back and when the lie comes and says, oh, you weren't healed, you say, yes, I was. By his stripes, I am healed. Period. End of sentence. Symptoms may persist and it may try to break you down, but you have the victory, you have the authority. Amen. The other thing the Lord has showed me to do is you, Scott. The Lord has told me to tell you that you are a man of God. And that he loves you very much. And the things that you are doing is because he's called you to do them. And don't believe any lie of the enemy. You are a man of God. And I affirm you as a man of God. Kyle here. Come here, Kyle. There's an anointing all over me, and it's for you, my brother. You are not forgotten. Just go around the other side, Kyle. This is what the Lord showed me. That's the way I do it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Scott, and I lift him up to you. I praise your holy name, Father, and I bless him. I bless him, Lord. I thank you for your anointing, O God. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Father, just burn into his heart and mind that he is yours and that you've made him to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that he is a man of God and he can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He is not just there somewhere out in the back. He is at front. Father, I thank you for training him, for dealing with him, for purging him, Father. And Father, as a congregation, we stand here. And as representation, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Scott, for the work you do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But also, there's many giftings there. So I just stir them up right now, and I pull them out because we, as the body of Christ, need that now. Whoa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. Hallelujah. The scripture tonight I'd like to say would go along with what we're talking about here, and it's actually a scripture that is caused because of purging. And it is in John chapter 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Correct? John 15 from verses 1 to 8 is about purging. I mean, that's a wonderful scripture, that verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you will, and it will be done for you. That's great. But if you back up to the few scripture verses before that, it's talking about verse 1. It says, I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. Verse 2, every branch that's in me, as Christians, as believers, every branch that's in me that does not bear fruit, he'll lop off, he'll cut off, he'll cast off, whatever version you have. He'll take you and cut you off. I'm not talking to yous, but I'm talking to people who are believers who will not bear fruit. He'll lop them off. But yous who do bear fruit, guess what he's going to do? He's going to purge you, prune you, and purify. And he's going to do it by his word. And as he does that, it hurts like heck. Aha, you thought I'd say the other word, didn't you? It hurts a lot. But one thing for sure, he's taking us from here to there. And as we go through the impasse, because I know some of you, and I know that you're going through an impasse. Don't give up. Don't quit. Take your dictionary, look up the word quit, and take a pen and rub it out. There is no quit in your dictionary. Don't back off from the enemy. When we get there to whatever it is we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to look at him and say, is this the man that destroyed nations? Is this the person that deceived and took us out? We don't have to, because we have the victory. We have the victory. We are born again, blood bought, devil stomping, mountain moving, water walking Christians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 8, he talks about a pruning. But once the pruning's over, he wants us to bear more fruit so that we will glorify the Father. And then we can say with him, if he abides in us, his word abides in us, we will ask what we will and it'll be done for us. We want things of God to be done for us. Wouldn't it be nice for us just to do things that is in our heart to do? Anyway, if you would turn to Luke chapter 14. I'm going to bring out a difficult verse, maybe for some, maybe for others it's not. I'm just going to start at verse 15. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. The object here of the whole lesson is to accept Christ and his salvation. Then there's a consequence of those who do not. I will explain that in the next several verses, but I will not keep you too long. We'll do one pass first. Verse 15, and when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and he had an invitation. He bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come now, for all things are ready. We'll find out later that this is for all peoples. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him that I have bought a piece of ground. So he was interested in property and land and so on. He said, I must need to go and see it. I pray thee that I may be excused. This guy was interested in material things. Verse 19, and another said that I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and go to prove them. He says, I pray thee that I may be excused. This guy was interested in business. He may have been an entrepreneur, which we need entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are people that will take risks, start businesses, get them running. Sometimes from there move them on and start other businesses. But the job of an entrepreneur is to make money for the kingdom and to promote the gospel. If you look at David, King David, he set it up, but it was Solomon that built the temple. It may not be for gospel entrepreneurs to build the temple with hands on, so to speak. It's their job, if you will, their call to make the money, to put it into the kingdom so that things can be done. And the money of the sinner is stored up for the just. And I believe that God is going to give every Christian, every believer, but especially gospel entrepreneurs, who this morning it was taught, that will allow God to own you. Not just be a hireling. There are many people, many Christians who are entrepreneurs. They're making money and they're providing for themselves. And God has not told them to do that. God on this part will provide all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But your call may be an entrepreneur. So you begin to make finances for the kingdom of God. God may tell you not to touch that. Just give it to the kingdom while he's providing your needs over here. He may say, yes, you can take from that to live. But many people, because they're not sold out, they're not owned by Christ, but because they're a hireling, and they believe and they made a deal with the Lord, if you pay me so much, I'll preach the gospel. Anyway, there's a lot on entrepreneurs. I'd like to teach on that sometime. Because the wealth of the sinner is saved up for the just. But we have to be sold out and we have to be owned by the Lord. We have to know that that is our call and not wonder. There are many people within the body of Christ that are gospel entrepreneurs. They may never speak in the pulpit, but yet they're wanting to speak in the pulpit, but that's not their call. Their call is to make the finances and bring it in so that the pastor and the people can do the things that God has called them to do. Why should the drug addicts have all the money? Or the mafia? What about us, man? Yeah, what about us? Let's go get them. Dennis, you and I will just go get them. Amen. Dennis is with me. I'm glad. I'm glad you said yes. Verse 20, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. What these people are doing, they're putting idols in front of the Lord. I mean, it's a good thing, the Bible says, to have a wife, and for a wife to have a husband. It's great. But when you start putting that wife over top of the Lord and your relationship with the Lord, man, there's something wrong. It's an idol. He goes on to say, so that servant came and showed his Lord, he said these things, that the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes and the cities and bring in hither the poor. This is a invitation. This is a call to everyone. Bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's still room. God sends him back out. He wants to complete the call for everyone to accept Jesus Christ. Verse 23, and the Lord said to the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel, urge them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men who were bidden shall taste of my supper. We got to watch it rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're out there talking to people. We have to know that. We cannot push the gospel and ram it down their throats, but we have to realize that they need the gospel. And we have to get to a point where, Lord, show me how to get into and talk to this person, whichever way we need to talk to, and lead him to Christ. Two or three months ago, we visited a man, and he had cancer. When I say we, it was me and Carl. And at that particular time, I wanted to so badly lead him in a sinner's prayer, but it never came up. I left with Carl, but we just prayed. And I felt, unless he gets a miracle, he's going to die. Well, that was two or three months ago. Now, two or three days ago, didn't he call? He's in a hospice, and he called for us. When he did that, I knew that it was time to go in and hit him and lead him to Christ. See, the first time was he trusted us. We weren't just going in hitting him with the Bible. We weren't going in as a bad influence. I mean, there's a time to hit with the Bible, believe me. But this time, when we went in, within 4 minutes, the Spirit of God hit, and I began to shake on the inside. And he says, now. And I says, well, you know why we're here. He says, yeah. And I took his hand, and I prayed with him. And Carl was there with us, right on his bed. He's a slight man now. He's well under 100 pounds. Unless there's a miracle, he's going, and he's going soon. They give him a week or two to live, something like that. And I led him to the Lord. Amen. But he asked for it. So the invitation call is there, but we need to be wise in terms of how, who, what, where, and when. And there's nothing wrong with hammering the Bible. But I'll tell you something. You may say, well, I'm not an evangelist, and I'm not so bold maybe as you are. But you can be a witness. You can set it up for someone else to knock it down. Glory to God. 25, and there went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them. He's talking to a lot of people here. He's talking to the people who just made the excuses about, one, I have property. About two, I have business. About three, I have family. And here's what he says. He says in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own self, he cannot be my disciple. He's just talking about verse 18, 19, and 20 to the people that are making excuses why they will not accept the salvation call. Now, Jesus is not saying you need to hate them, because that would contradict everything else he says in the Word. What he is saying is that you need to love them less. But if you do not deal with them, if you do not put me first and them in their proper position and they go to hell, it would be like you hated them not to tell them about me. That's what he's saying. Verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Disciple is disciplined follower. Now we look over at verse 28. Here's the consequences of the people who will not accept the invitation of Jesus Christ. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. This guy who was building the tower, let's say the tower cost $100,000 for whatever reason, but he had $25,000. He began to build the tower. In other words, you begin to build your walk. You begin to build your house. But you don't plan on doing this and letting God do this through you. In other words, you've never counted the cost of what it's going to cost to get from here to heaven. It would be awful dumb for someone to do that, to start building a tower or a house without counting the cost. And as Christians, we need to count the cost, because we need to be obedient to what the Word of God is saying. By not accepting Jesus' call to salvation is like being dumb enough to start a building without enough material to finish it. Second guy here, he says in verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth down first and consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. If this person does not accept the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the counsel, the godly counsel, as Psalm 1 and 1 says, he will not be able to consult with the Lord because he will not be owned by the Lord. How can he consult with the Lord if he's never accepted his invitation to salvation? So he doesn't know whether to go out with 10,000 to fight 20 and get really beat bad and annihilated, or to go out and make conditions of peace. But that wisdom will come from walking with and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has accepted the invitation to accept Christ. He has not rejected Christ. It'd be very dumb for this person not to accept the salvation that Jesus Christ is offering. He says, the supper is ready. Come on, all he is. I'm inviting everybody. So the next time you're out there and talking to somebody about Christ, don't let the enemy say, well, you know, here's something the enemy said. Well, he's not of a Christian religion. He won't understand. Forget it. Baloney. The Spirit of God will teach him. It's just your duty to tell him. You're not responsible for the response. It's the Holy Spirit's job, if you will, to make it life to him. So what do you think you're going to build a tower without enough, without consulting the Lord, or make a war? I mean, you don't want to get wiped out. And then he brings it home a little more here. He says in verse 33, so likewise, in other words, also, whosoever, that's us. Also, even if us. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. We need to forsake it all. But all as He leads us. This doesn't happen overnight. But we forsake what we can with what we've got. At that particular time, as Pastor was saying. And then verse 35, it says, so likewise, whosoever be, I'm sorry, verse 34, salt is good. You know you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. The point is this. We are the salt of the earth. But if we have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in terms of what He wants us to do, if we've not taken His invitation, we are the salt, and as we are believers, yes. If we lose our seasoning, where are we going to go to get seasoned again? To the property? To the family? To the business? It's not going to happen. We, as salt, cannot lose our seasoning because we are the salt of the earth. People need us. That's not a pride statement. It's a bold statement. There's a difference between pride and boldness. And that's a very bold statement. People need us. And we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, where are we going to go to get seasoned again? If there's anybody here thinking about giving up or quitting, don't. Let the pruning begin. You're either going to be going into a pruning situation, or you'll be in one, or you'll be coming out of one. Anybody that's been a Christian long enough knows that's what's going to happen. That's the same as what it said in John's Gospel. Every branch that is in me, by the way, verse 2, John 15, 2, every branch that is in me, if he does not bear any fruit, he'll be lopped off. But every branch that does bear fruit, he will be pruned or cleansed. And yeah, it may look like there's stuff flowing out of us during the pruning. That's all part of it. But what he wants to do is take the stuff away, lop off the old weeds, the old branches, and fill us with the Holy Spirit to bear more fruit. So verse 26, finally, says this, that he that comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, his wife, his brethren, his sisters, even his own life, cannot be my disciples. He was a little upset because everybody started making excuses. And what he said in verse 26 was the excuse based on, he directed it at the excuses that were made, and they're still out there today. It's hard to believe, but there are some people that put their spouses first. But if we don't tell people about Jesus Christ, it will look like we've hated them, because it'll look like we've withheld from them the true life, eternal life. So what we have to do is love them less, not hate them. Father, we worship you tonight. We thank you for tonight, Lord. I thank you that we are the salt of the earth. Lord, we don't want to lose our savor. Father, we want to be hot for you. We want to be strong. We want to be wise. We want to be able to go to you and consult. We want to be able to hear you, Lord, and get your wisdom downloaded to us so that we'll know what to do in every situation, even when it looks like they are twice as much as what we are. We will know. Because if the Lord is for us, nobody can be against us, and we are more than conquerors. And Father, we're just not saying that. We're living that as well, Lord. Father, I thank you that we are in you. I thank you, Lord. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We have right standing with you. Eyes closed. Anybody here that has trouble believing that they are the righteousness of God? Just raise your hand. I see the hand. We must realize that we are the righteousness of God. Because being the righteousness of God is being able to understand, we already there, to be able to stand in the presence of an almighty God without any sense of shame, guilt, fear, or condemnation. And if we feel condemned, then it's very difficult to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need healing. Because the voice will come and say, you're not worth it. But yes, you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Is there anybody else? I see the hands. I see the hands. Shri kara bara kara shri kiri kara bara kara shri kara bara kara shri kara bara kara shri kara bara kara shara kara shri kara bara kara shri kiri kara bara kara shibre bara kara shri kiri kara kara shara kara kara shibre bara kara shri kara bara kara shri kiri kara bara kara shri kiri kara. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for that great exchange. Our unworthiness for your worthiness. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. I have been made to sit in heavenly places. Say that. I have been made to sit in heavenly places. I am the righteousness of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I've been made to sit, whether I like it or not, if I'm in Christ, whether I believe it or not. I've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you who said or raised your hand in terms of not understanding that you're the righteousness of God, you need to do a word study on it. And while you're word studying it, pray in the Spirit over it. Because when you pray in the Spirit, as we all know, it builds ourselves up in our most holy faith. And when we see the Word, it comes in through the gate. We're renewing our mind and building our spirit. We're becoming superstructures for the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to say this too in terms of this morning's message. I would suggest strongly that you get that message, whether it's on the website or what CD, whatever, which way you do it here, in terms of not here, but how you do it. And listen to it at least four times. There is so much in between the lines. So much. You are a bond servant. At least you should be. And I want to take that over into the vein of entrepreneur sometime. Because there's so much money. There are so many finances that needs to come in. And there are entrepreneurs here. And God will give you ideas, creative ideas. And you'll just want to bring it in. The Jesus in you will just want to bring it in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. The wealth of the sinner is for the righteous. You see, if you didn't understand, or the justified never sinned, or the righteous, righteousness. For those of you who don't believe that you are righteous, you could never receive a lot of amounts of finances. And yes, I'm talking about money. We need money to keep lights on, gas in the car, mortgages paid, and so on. We need money to be there to support people. We planted a church about 5 years ago, just north of Oshawa. Every Monday night, it's for the town. We meet in the town building. It costs money. But the people that come there, many of them are off the street, and they can't give. So occasionally, people will give money to help support it. But wouldn't it be nice to have enough to have our own building? So every Monday night, we feed quite a few of them, and then we preach the gospel. It takes money to do that. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I think I'm done.